Welcome to the Campervancast, the podcast where Dan and Lee will take you step by step through the process of choosing, buying, repairing, maintaining, and converting your very own campervan, all via the wonderful medium of audio. And we're going to be filming it too, so you can watch it on the Coombe Valley Campers YouTube channel. This week, we will be discussing size. Does size matter?
And that is a very open question. But more specifically, we're going to aim it towards the campervan market as well. It's not a comparison.
No, it never is. It never is. It is what works. It's not the size, it's how you use it, right?
Well, they do say that.
It's a bit of a question, isn't it, that you can apply to the campervan environment, when it comes to buying a campervan, because there are lots of different factors that you have to take into account.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that people don't necessarily think of and realise when they look at a campervan. It's the same we've said every week. You look at something, you fall in love with it, and you don't think of the practicalities. If you're 6'8" and you've got a van that's only 4 foot tall, are you going to be able to stand up in it? No. Are you going to be comfortable? Maybe, probably not. So yeah, there's lots of different factors we're going to talk about. But this week, and today more importantly, we haven't seen each other today.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking the same thing. We started work at 9, and it's now just gone 4, I think. This is the end of the day on a Monday, and we haven't seen each other all day. Right. We've hardly spoken. You've been at the computer. I've either been downstairs or working with Ali, and we've been filming other videos. It's just like that now, isn't it? It's exhausting.
Yeah. So today I've been focusing on the website changes for the new electrical. Yeah. Range that we've got coming out, so we're going to be listing some more stuff on there. So that means talking to the sellers and doing all the listings and that stuff. And yeah, you've been doing more videos,
and you were busy during lunch. We literally haven't. So this is quite nice.
Yeah, so this is going to be our casual
How
chat.
Are you, mate?
You're
all right?
Yeah, it's good. It's, I was sort of looking forward to this just to sort of relax and chill out a bit. It's quite cool. So yeah, it's our usual small talk bit at the beginning, but it'll be genuine. And
it's been so bonkers, isn't it? The last couple of weeks, and we're going to say thank you once again to all of you wonderful listeners and our Patreon supporters and anybody who follows us on either YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be. You've made our life ridiculously busy. So thank you.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. And the daily transmission of the podcast has been taken really well. The views have gone really well. Everyone's enjoying it. Good comments. The partners that we're working with the sales, they're all seeing good results. So
they're very happy. Yeah. We're very happy. And it just goes to show that now I can spend more of the time on the shop floor, either working on the customers' vans and filming. And you have pretty much got a hold of everything upstairs in the office. And
that's what I tell you.
Yeah, fair enough. It's just been absolutely crazy and love it. Absolutely love it. So, once again, thank you, everybody, for your support. We are very close to 1,000 downloads on the podcast as well.
It's amazing, isn't it? We didn't really have an expectation of it, did we? We didn't quite know what it was going to do. And obviously, we put it out on YouTube, which is where most of our audience is. So we were sort of thinking, are people going to be listening to it on Spotify? Uh-huh. And if it's going to improve on there, and it's been steadily going up every week, which is good.
Yeah, well, it's the podcast, sorry, the Instagram, oh my gosh, I can hardly talk,
one of the platforms.
YouTube ones are leveling out, but the podcast platform numbers are going up,
yeah,
really nicely. And it's worth the time, it's worth the effort, and because of all the support we're getting as well, we're now going to be improving this room. We've got some stuff coming with the help of Dodo Matt UK, so thank you to you guys. We're going to look at some more lights to make this more of a sound studio. Sorry, more of a recording studio, really.
Yeah, yeah. Capture your better side as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's that one.
Back of your head.
Back of my head. So, yeah, it's all working out rather nicely. But again, that is down to the team. So thank you, everybody, and also all of our followers, supporters, and fans. So, yes, thank you, everybody.
Brilliant. Shall we start today's episode?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, size, does it matter? I think, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not down to your opinion, it's down to your circumstance when it comes to campervan size.
Yeah, the same word that keeps cropping up in all of these podcasts. It depends on, A, what you're going to use it for, and B, Oh, I didn't really think of B when I started saying that. That probably would have been better, wouldn't it? Have two points so in mind before.
When it comes to circumstance, I think we spoke about this last time, didn't we? You've got to cover the different situations that you have. So the locations you're looking to travel.
Yep.
The people you're going to be sleeping inside it. The space you have to store the vehicle when it's not being used as a camper van. And also the countries you are looking to travel to as well, because a lot of people, and I'll start with that actually, is the locations you're going to, because what a lot of people don't realise is the size of their vehicle impacts travel costs.
Yes.
And that's not just the bigger the vehicle, the bigger the engine, the more the fuel. Yes, that's a huge part of it. But if you're travelling on a ferry or on, if you're in the UK, for example, if you want to go anywhere outside of the UK, it's either by boat or it's by train.
Yeah.
And all of that costs money, and all of that depends on the size of the vehicle you're in. So if you think, yes, I'll get a small VW caddy size van, it will be cheaper because it's a car-derived van, which means in the UK that would be cheaper because it's kind of technically a car.
Yeah.
You can tax it like a car.
Yeah, anyone that doesn't know, the caddy is your sort of Postman Pat sort of size van, isn't it? Your smaller sort of vans that you can...
That is small, regarded as a small van in the UK. Then you've got mid-size, which is your transporter / transit custom size.
Yeah, the Varos and all that sort of range.
And then you've got the large is also... It goes large H1 to large H3. So an L1 to L3 is the length, and the H1 to H3 is the height. So you've got three levels of length, three levels of height when it comes to the larger vans, such as Transits, Ducatos, Sprinters and Crafters. So all of those play a huge factor. But in terms of that travel side, when it comes to, say, going on a ferry, if you're based in the UK or anywhere else, really, I guess. If you're travelling between countries, you've got to get on a boat or a ferry or a train. If you can't fit everything into your small camper, you've got to have a trailer maybe, or a roof box or this, that and the other. And that all impacts on the price as well. When I went travelling, my family and I went in our T3 to south of France, not last year, year before. And we considered taking a small trailer because obviously there's four of us. We had the camping toilet, all that sort of stuff. And things like a camping toilet, you don't necessarily want to keep inside the vehicle. So we considered a trailer.
Yeah.
And then I looked at how much extra that was going to cost me for traveling.
Yeah.
So what we did do is built a rear platform to go onto the tow bar of the vehicle. So it's like, I don't know, a backpack for the van.
Oh, okay.
And because I've never been a huge fan of roof racks.
Yep.
Again, you can keep the height down, and I just don't think they do much for your aerodynamics. So I think they look great, not great for anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're noisy.
Plus, I've found with mine, so anyone doesn't know, I've got a roof rack on mine, and it's great, as you say, for carrying stuff, but driving down the road, anything more than about 50 miles an hour, we got one of those cheap app. There's a free app you can get that sort of tells you decibel readings, and you can compare it to stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think at 55 to 60 miles an hour, my roof rack was making a similar noise to a household Hoover.
Oh, really?
So when you're doing like a two-hour journey, three-hour, even more, you've got to think about that constantly. And it drove us a little bit mad, so much to the point now where I'm looking into wind deflectors and all different ways of curbing that because, it's great for storing some extra bits on top, but the noise can be awful.
So that's a good point going into it there. So if you've got a smaller vehicle and you think, actually, I am going to be carrying a lot of stuff with me, but the smaller van's the one I want, you've got to look into either rear box storage, like the one I was talking about on my van, a roof rack, or potentially a trailer. And again, I've seen situations where people have got all of the above.
Yeah.
Big roof racks and a rear bar or bike rack, for example, and a trailer or a trailer tent or a caravan. So... they're really versatile.
And with those, as we mentioned before, because we mentioned about my kayaks in the previous episode about storing them on there, you've got to either pay out some money for a decent lock and system like that, or you've got to have it for stuff that you don't mind if it goes missing. Because when you're storing anything out of a vehicle, it's on show for people being opportunistic and potentially nicking it. So that is one thing that you can use it for storing stuff on top, but as we've mentioned before, with expensive mountain bikes and even kayaks, you can buy kayaks for hundreds, if not probably thousands. You don't want to be just throwing them onto the top of a few straps, and you want a decent way of keeping hold of it. So that's another point to consider.
So there's two subjects there that we can look into again on future episodes. One is security, on things on the actual vehicle itself, and things attached to the vehicle. And secondly, as a point we can continue in this episode, that it's down to your lifestyle, potentially, what vehicle you have.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who wants to go travelling for long distances or for long periods of time, and you're a mountain biker, for example, maybe the ideal van for you would be a long wheelbase Ducato with a garage underneath the permanent bed at the back of the vehicle, which is there where you keep all your mountain bikes underneath and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's, there's so many different things to consider.
It's always, there's a positive and a negative to all of these subjects. As you just said, the Fiat Ducato, you've got that space that you can put everything, but then that's going to be one of the more expensive vehicles to take away if you were going to take it across.
And build.
And own. Yep, and there's
run.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so many different points to think about when you're buying a vehicle. It's not just, because we've all seen the crafters or the larger vehicles and they look amazing, and it's just like, well, if you haven't got anywhere to store it, it's a big old vehicle to put somewhere, and just general day-to-day sort of the running of it, and as you said, sort of you don't want a roof rack because it restricts your aerodynamics or getting into places. We mentioned before about car parks.
Yep.
And you went on a little road trip the other day, didn't you, in a high top vehicle, and you found some restrictions in that itself.
Yeah. I went, it was a little bit of a motorway trip to go and pick something up for work. And we wanted to do a bit of a drive through, but because of the long wheelbase and the trailer and everything else, we couldn't get through a drive through to pick up some takeaway food.
Yeah.
So there's another restriction. If you want to just sort of drive through somewhere in a town or a city, you've got to think of the size as well.
Yeah.
Gosh, again, there's so many things to think about. So we've talked about the whole travel, or very briefly touched on the travel and the costs you could incur. However, you may have to budget that cost into your travel if you do want the larger vehicle. So that's, again, all of these things all come down to budget, don't they, really?
Yeah, that's the side of it in the cost. But then if you are doing 2 months going around Europe, even longer, you're probably going to want to be in one of those larger vehicles with the more facilities, because it gives you that added freedom. And I think that maybe is the next thing that we talk about, is what facilities you can get into different size vehicles. Now, I have a mate at the moment who is looking at building a caddy van. Now, I've told him quite a few times.
We've spoken about this.
Yeah, I've told him quite a few times. He's probably listening now, so hi if you're watching. You know who you are. I'm not going to mention names. But he is 6'2" and is planning a caddy van with a bed that's always out.
Yeah.
Now, that does have some restrictions in how much room is left in a VW caddy.
Yeah.
So it's, once he's got that bed in there, it's not going to be
a
much.
Permanent bed in a caddy.
Yeah.
So he's only going to take him on his travels.
Pretty much, I think, yeah.
Okay. Because so, you can't fit, if you want a permanent bed for a 6'2", 6'3" dude, you can't have that second seat. It's only going to be you driving around in the van.
Because
they're like 6 foot long from the dashboard to the back door.
That's the problem with it. They're a great little vehicle, but they do have their restrictions. They are very small. And I think one thing we would advise is any vehicle you're looking at, they'll be online, blueprints or diagrams of the exact measurements. And if you
Great tip.
Yeah, so if you're looking at a bed that's 6 foot that's going to come out or across, we've seen people trying to build beds across. Now, in my van, it's only about 4.5 foot across. You're going to build that bed and you're soon going to realise it's not quite long enough to sleep comfortably.
That's
so
right.
Looking, even before you've bought the vehicle, looking online at the size that it is and doing some basic drawings and measurements, because you know roughly what the bed length's going to be. It's going to be your height plus, or the camper van interior. If you have an item that you need to store, for example, my kayaks are longer than my van from the back seats back, so they can't physically go in there.
Fit in the vehicle.
So if I had the kayaks beforehand and I had this great idea of going and buying this van that they're going to fit in, I bought a van without measuring any of it, I'd soon be very disappointed when you have to drive with the door open.
So that puts it down to planning, basically,
doesn't
it? And no, going back to what you were saying, it's a great tip. If you are considering the van of your dreams and you are looking at different size vehicles, the vehicle you do choose, much like you can do an MOT check on a vehicle online, do a dimensions check. So if you've got a, let's go back to that caddy then, you could do VW caddy 2005 schematic.
Yeah.
Or a vehicle blueprint or something
like
that.
Yeah, just anything
and
like
that. You should be able to find that exact vehicle and that exact dimensions with all internal dimensions and things online. And you'll be able to print it out Maybe if you're clever on the computer, you can maybe delete some of the details and actually make that into a floor plan. But no, that's an excellent, excellent point. And it is down to that planning. But I think if we start with a small van, what do you reckon? What circumstances would you buy a caddy for? You had a caddy, or the caddy was the one you could afford, or whatever it was. What sort of camping would you do in that, or what do you think a caddy would be ideal for?
Personally, I think with the caddies, they are great if you're using it regularly as a daily driver.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you've said before, you're not going to have any problems getting into car parks. Even parallel parking, they're quite small, they're compact. I think they're not too dissimilar. So is it the Golf Plus?
Golf Plus or the Touran?
Like, yeah, I've got the Touran. So they're not... They're a million miles away from those, and you can get the Rusty Lee Rock and Roll beds that can be seat belted.
That's a great point as well. So yes, if you are considering a caddy, Rusty Lee, who are our partners, they have officially released the caddy bed.
Yeah.
And it's not just a T5 bed that's been chopped down. It's actually specifically designed for a caddy.
Yeah, and you can put the seat belts on there. So
yeah, and we will be looking into putting them on the website soon, actually. So there's another thing. If you have a caddy van and you want a Rusty Lee bed, consider bringing it down here and we'll film it. You know, because there's a lot of people out there.
Let us know first, because obviously we've got more and more people listening to this. We don't want 200 caddies parked outside on Wednesday. So, yeah, drop us a message first.
If you've got a caddy, you want a Rusty Lee bed, you want it filmed, maybe, potentially bring it down. So little caddy vans, that's a great shout. It's a van you can use daily. It's a van you can store anywhere, pretty much. It's the size of a car. It's the same running costs as a car.
Yeah.
It's regarded as a car-derived van. So you don't have the speed restrictions as you would on a commercial vehicle such as a transit custom or a transporter as well. So there's another positive.
Yeah.
And if you have got that small van, it's the only van you can fit your... You know, it's the only van you can fit in your parking space or your garage. There are ways you can put an extension on it, right?
Yeah, so we mentioned this earlier, we mentioned it in the previous episode, which is the awnings.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to a different
line. I'm going
line.
For a different angle. You can get pop-tops
for them. Oh, of course, yes.
So if you've got like a caddy or a Berlingo or any of the smaller vans, car-drive vans, there are loads of options now for you to have a pop-top. And that's not just, say, a pop-top. I don't think they're designed as pop-tops to sleep in, like to have... four berths in.
Yeah,
they're purely designed for just headroom and living space whilst you're in the vehicle. So if your only option, I mean, I don't want to dwell too much on that, but if you are looking at a caddy, your only option is a caddy or Berlingo or whatever it may be, that size vehicle, you don't have to suffer in just that short head height. You can actually get pop-tops. So if your budget is maybe transporter, but the only vehicle you can fit is that smaller van, you can extend it with... pop-top.
Yeah.
And in fact, I shared it on our Facebook pages about a month or two ago. I know it was last year, that the new caddy that is being built in conjunction with VW and Ford, I'll have to, don't quote me on that, but the new caddy for 2021, I believe they're even out. They've built a camper version. Whether that was just a prototype or not, I can't remember.
Yeah, you see a lot of these concept things that you don't
but
know
they
if they're ever going
to be. Awning on the back of it that was basically double the size of the vehicle. It was almost like a small town, you know. It was all the caddy was the bed at this point.
Yeah.
So the rest of the awning was something you could sleep in. But yeah, you're right. To extend the vehicle when you're on site, a driveway awning, perfect idea.
Yeah.
If you want just extra living space with the caddy, a pop-top is a great plan as well. I couldn't quote any names, so maybe we'll put some names of pop-top supplier in the description.
I believe the supplier that we use do have a few on their range. They cater for many different vehicles, and that's poptoproofs.co.uk, I believe.
Yep.
But on the caddy note, we might be potentially having a guest in the next few weeks who owns one. I don't want to give too much away, but we might be going into more detail then.
Oh, I don't even think I know about this one. I can't quite remember
now. Do you not? I'm sure it'll...
Nope, can't
electrics.
Think of it.
Owns a caddy?
Nope.
Okay. Well, okay. Maybe.
Okay. Well, that's going
to
be a surprise
to
me.
It'll be news
to
you as well when we introduce them. So that's the caddy vehicle. I mean, maybe potentially people that enjoy fishing and stuff. It's just going to be one person, mm-hmm. Just somewhere to keep out the rain and to hold a small amount of gear.
And that's not saying you can't get a caddy and go travelling around the world in it. You've just got to be prepared to travel light.
Yeah.
So if it is just you, with a little single burner, with a small amount of water, and you don't mind, you know, going to the loo in a bucket, whatever it may be. You're not. Yeah. Don't expect to have a full-on shower, toilet, hot water system in a caddy. It's literally a place to sleep and a place to store some gear.
Yeah,
But there's no saying you can't go around the world in a blooming caddy, is there? Really?
Yeah.
People go around the world on push bikes. So.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that is. It's the only real limitations with it is the size of it. But then that has so many advantages as well. So,
absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of caddy builders who are our followers. So anybody who is out there building a caddy van or converting a caddy van, hello to you. Thank you very much for your support and followers following. It's nice to see what you're doing. And if you are building one, you've not shown us yet, be sure to tag @Coombe_Valley_Campers on Instagram. We'd love seeing your build. So I want to see all the caddies.
Yep. And if you're listening to this on YouTube, drop us in the comments why you got your caddy, because there's probably 100 other reasons why.
Yeah, we'd love to know. And if you, yeah, absolutely.
Or other smaller vehicles. Let's not just talk about the caddies, because obviously we've got the Connects that are very popular. We've had a couple of those in.
Yes, we have.
And
actually,
you mentioned as well the Citroen Berlingos and stuff like that. So yeah, any smaller vehicle, let us know why you got that. Medium vans.
Medium vans.
The most common through our door.
Yeah. Through choice.
Yeah.
Because we do them the most, and yep. It's the vans we're most familiar with. And there are conversion specialists out there who do just concentrate on the larger type vehicles, like the caddies. Bloody got caddies on the brain.
be buying one next.
Yeah, I've already had one. So yeah, there are people who specialise in all. We say we cover all, because one of the things we've always said is from the front seats back, a camper van is pretty much the same. It's got leisure electrics and, you know, furnishings and things like that. But, yes, we have had the mid-sized camper van the most.
Yeah.
I think they are a very good all-rounder.
I was thinking exactly the same. They have some of the advantages of the smaller vans in the sense of you can still get most of them in a car park.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. The tax won't be as much. The shipping costs won't be as high. But also you've got the ability to get a fair amount in them if you design it correctly, and yeah,
availability or the conversion parts.
Well, that's another thing as well, isn't it? When you look at, like, even going down to specific like brands sort of thing. So we typically deal with a lot of VWs. Now we get loads of messages from people going, "Do you only deal with VWs?" Yes and no. They're the most common ones, but they're also the ones that we recommend from the camper conversion point of view. Because if you, for example, type into Google camper van ply lining kit for a VW T5, there'll be hundreds of results. Whereas, now, unless someone listens to this, holds a secret to where you can get hold of one, we haven't been able to find, for example, a ply lining kit for a Vivaro.
A decent ply lining kit.
Yeah, we can find the trade kits, which are just basically four big pieces of ply panels that you can sort of stick to the sides. But yeah, a good quality kit for a Vivaro or a Traffic or sort of any
we've
of
made
those
our
sort
own
of vehicles.
Past,
well, that's the thing. So then we sort of, you then have to go into a more bespoke service. And it's the same with the camper van interiors, the VW ones, and now more so the Transits, because they're becoming increasingly popular. You can find them from a lot of different places.
Not gonna lie, I do really like a Transit Custom. I think they look great.
Yep.
They drive really well, but they're huge in size.
Yeah.
And the conversion part supply is, it's not up there with the Volkswagen, but it's not too far off.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's
really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I know they're more popular with tradies, and there's so many kits out there and things like that. They are a very good alternative. And do they hold their residual value as much? Don't think so.
No.
They don't have the romanticism that the VW has. And yeah, like we said, they may not have the same conversion parts. However, they are a good, very good contender.
Yeah.
And they are cheaper.
Absolutely.
Again, so budget, if you're concerned about budget, but you want the same size as a Volkswagen T5, for example, then yeah, the Transit Custom's a great alternative. I'm not trying to be rude, but the other alternative is the Vivaro / Traffic base.
Yeah, and isn't the Nissan
NV200?
Something
Gosh,
like that.
They're going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Sorry if you've got one of those. So I would say next down in terms of budget, not necessarily spec or drivability or anything else, but next down in terms of budget, I would definitely say the Vivaro base. vehicle, which is the NV200. Gosh, I'm going to have to look that up. Or the Renault.
Yeah.
And again, in terms of camper van parts as well and conversion parts, they're slightly less than Transit Customs. Would you agree, yeah, or do you reckon they're coming back up as well?
I've done a couple of pricing up for them recently, and I'd say most of it we were doing customised stuff, and it's sort of like stuff like the swivel seat bases, where with VW, where there is a market for it, companies can afford to put hundreds of thousands of pounds into the safety element of creating these swivel plates. Like, we know how much Rusty Lee has invested into making them as safe as possible, where the popularity of the Vivaros is not as high at the moment. I haven't seen too many companies.
There's not the same development.
Yeah.
Or there's not the same intent to invest so much into a safety registered part because they might not get the sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think it will go up the more that self-build and the more that campers are.
Do you know what will go popular up? The reason it will go up, I think, is because van availability.
Yeah.
It's February 2021, early February. And unless you're willing to just buy the first van you see, there's not a lot about, is there? There really isn't a lot about in terms of just plain vans for you converting. So that might be a huge factor at the moment, actually, thinking about it. It's not a case of what you want. It's about what you can get your bloody hands on.
Yep. I mean, don't rush into buying it. But yeah, if there's vehicles that are popping up, I mean, always do your research with whatever your vehicle you're doing. But especially with a camper conversion, do your research with what's available. Like, for example, if you really have your heart set on this interior that you're going to have two swivel seats that are folding round, make sure you can get a swivel seat for that vehicle before you buy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're...
You know someone who's clever with a welder to convert a swivel base to your van.
Yeah, and then obviously the whole trying to get a safe the safety element of that as well. So there's lots to consider on that in terms of what make of vehicle you're getting, because, yeah, it does vary so much. And it might not necessarily be a thing you might have thought of before buying one, that there are no parts available potentially.
So why would you, or what reason do you think people would buy a mid-range van?
So the medium range van, as we've said, they're very sort of traditional. They're very versatile in the fact of you can have, with the caddy, you don't have as many options for the layout due to the size of it. Whereas when you start getting onto the medium vans, I'm not going to mention my van. We spoke about it last week. I'm going to be good this week. My van is not going to mention. Not yet. There are a couple of different ways that you can lay them out and still make good use of the space. In terms of getting your hands on one, there's a fair amount out there.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. In terms of layout, if you want one of those transporters, you can make them from a single berth all the way up to six.
Yeah.
And a dog, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the versatility is very, very good. The spare parts are the best in terms of, the conversion parts are the best in terms of the mid-range vans. And the possibilities in terms of layout are endless as well. So if it goes for just styling too,
yeah,
there's so much you can buy for these mid-range vans, because they use almost all the same bits, like sidebars, the wheels, the tyres, the aftermarket support is just massive on them. But now, going back to why would you buy one, it's down to the size, because of the berths, I think, is the biggest thing. In terms of, they're a great starting point for a family.
Yeah.
Because their size is big enough to hold four, and you can still park them, and you can still put one on the drive without upsetting anybody. So, yeah, I think that is a very, very good...
Yeah, they're a good... They're the perfect size almost for most people. It is that down to that sort of what you're going to use it for. But as you say, you can get the pop tops on them quite easily. Cab beds in the front as well is another place that you can...
Yeah, that's how I'd make one into a six berth. You can.
Yeah.
We haven't worked with the company. However, I would like to. Is cab bunk, I'm sure there are. And if you have kids, say, under the age of 10, maybe even the under the age of 12, you can get two bunk beds that, if your front seats swivel, both of them, you can have a bed that goes across the two front seats, and then midway up you can have another bunk. And they're the old school style bunks where you've got poles and the fabric that lays between them, almost like an old military hammock, you know, one of these fold out military hammocks. They work in the same same sense. So yeah, you can get up to 6 people in there. And a lot of the stuff is designed to fit in them as well. Like, so the interiors are designed to fit the two ring burners and the sink.
Yeah.
The small fridges, all the electrics fit, even down to 150-watt solar panels and stuff like that. They're designed to perfectly fit in the centre of a mid-range van or a mid-size van. And you can still get all your family gear in them and take them on a ferry for the cost of a small van.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of advantages, but I think the thing that might be holding people back right now, like we mentioned, is the availability.
Yeah.
Because now it's we're living in a time of COVID. We're living in a time that we can't just fly where we want to. So everybody's looking at camper vans. Hence the reason why things are going so crazy at the moment. Mid-range van is the most popular, which means there's a lack of them at the moment. So, yeah, it's a little bit...
Yeah, and going into that with a bit more detail, because obviously this will change over time, and it's the whole thing of what goes up's got to come down.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be potentially a point where people will be starting to go away again, and the prices of the vans potentially might come down a little bit. So if you're sat there thinking at the moment, oh, there's no vans out there, I can't get one I want. And if there's no rush, which camper vanning, I don't think there is not a thing that you need, just sit on it for a bit. Take the time to sort of plan it out and really work out what you want, and don't go and rush in and buy the first one that you see, because there will be another van. You always said it, haven't you, when I looked at buying mine, don't buy the first van you see. And
it's what you did.
Well, yeah. No, I feel like we're taking advice.
Yeah,
I was hoping you wouldn't mention that now. Got a bit red. You don't have to, although if you see the perfect van for you and it all works out perfectly, then you can buy it. But don't always necessarily have to buy the first one that you see, because there will be another van out there and there might be a better one for you as well.
Do you know one thing I'm actually going to suggest before we carry on? Is can we turn that heater off?
Yeah.
Red hot. Is anybody else? And welcome back, Dan.
We had to take a moment there, didn't we? Our camera guy Ali's cameras were actually shutting down. It was getting that warm. So.
Do excuse us. This is the second time we've done a podcast in this room. It's 1 degree outside in the workshop.
It's currently snowing.
It's snowing. And we're still learning about how to regulate the temperature in this room, and we failed. Yeah. I was cooking, so if you were watching this on video, you'd have noticed me putting my hand on the table just to try and rest my head, because I was absolutely overheating. And then Ali's cameras were overheating as well. So it's a good sign. Go out, take 5 minutes, recoup, cool the room down a bit, and then make a start. But
we'll try again.
My God, I've never had to do that before.
I thought I was just being really boring. Just put your hand on your light thing and started leaning over. I was like, all right, I'll shut up then, shall I?
Okay, so we were talking about medium vans then, and about finding the right one, for example, and you've got to sort of take your time to find that right one. But I want to kind of wrap that up with the limitations you've got of a medium van. We've spoken about the advantages. The limitations of a medium van is maybe the comfort level, if I can put it that way. So if you've got a medium van with a steel top, with maybe a pop top, for example, you are not going to have permanent utilities. Is that be fair to say?
Yeah, so we mentioned it a little bit last week about the toilet and the shower. Now, in a medium-sized van, we've seen people do lots of amazing ideas of where they do a shower out of the back. Now, unless you're just washing a mountain bike down, or
a wetsuit, or
something like that, or it's a ridiculously warm day, are you going to want to have a shower outside, out the back of your van?
I do hope to fit a semi-permanent shower in Bully when I rebuild him.
Yeah,
but I haven't divulged all of the details I'm going into with that build. But I'd like to, but it's only because we're putting a pop top in it, a big pop top in it.
Yeah,
so. Yes, the restrictions you have on a medium van is permanent creature comforts, such as a shower or a toilet. And I think you can have everything else in there. You can have loads of water in terms of underslung tanks. You can have hot water in there through different types of heater. You can have heaters in there, loads of storage. You can even build them so you can carry a motorbike in them. We're doing one at the moment, aren't we? It's got a single bed, which will pull out to a double, but then the customer still has the ability to put a motorbike in it, which is exactly what he's after.
But one thing that links the medium vans to the larger vans, which will give you the ability to have some of those facilities, would be the fiberglass high tops.
Yep.
So with the fiberglass high tops, it takes the standing room to like 6.5 foot, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know they're a bit
maybe quite, 2 meters max.
Yeah, so it then gives you the ability to put a shower and toilet potentially at the back or at the side.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, you'd probably be wanting to look at a long wheelbase, because once you start taking that section out, you do restrict and limit the bed length.
Yeah, if you can fit a toilet and a shower into an extra 40 centimetres, which is the difference between a long wheelbase and a short wheelbase T5, for example.
Yeah, it gives you that extra little bit of space that you'll then not lose at the beginning.
Absolutely. So, I think that'll be a nice little segue then. The restrictions of the medium van is that shower and toilet. If you wish to do further travels, if you wish to never go into somebody else's toilet block or ablutions, then you would be looking at either a motorhome.
Yep.
So a coach-built motorhome based on something like a Craft or a Sprint or a Transit or a Ducato. Or if you are looking at the self-build side, you want to be looking at, again, a larger or a regular Transit, Sprinter, Ducato, whatever it may be. And I see more and more of those, especially with growing families. So as a young family, you might have had, or as a couple, for example, you might have had the single caddy.
Yep.
Which you can go away with your girlfriend or your partner, whoever it may be. You move up to a medium van when you've got young children, potentially. And then once you've got grown children, or you're getting to the age where you want those permanent creature comforts like a shower and a toilet, you are looking at a large van.
Yeah.
And with the ability of a large van, I think the biggest deal of having a large van is the ability to have a permanent bed.
See, I'd argue the reason I'd like one the most was be the ability to stand up in it all the time. Because that's one thing I find with my van is I don't really want to put a pop top on it because I like the big roof bars on it as well. But I'd absolutely love to... Oh, I'm talking about my van. Oh, no. Oh, how many hours? I nearly got through an episode about talking about my van. Oh. Right. Anyway, as an example, I'd like to have a high top or a taller van for the ability just to stand in it. So
that's why I'm going for a pop top on mine.
Yeah,
you know, the van was great for when it was just my wife and I.
Yeah,
now we've got kids. We did one summer holiday without a pop top with that van, and it's like, yep, we definitely need a pop top.
You need one now. Yeah.
So that's exactly how we're going to go, because I don't want to move up to a large van. No need to. Don't want to. I like the cuteness of my little van, and you know, its ability to go anywhere, park anywhere, etc. So we're going to move up in terms of high top, but concentrating on larger vans like we are talking about. If you're an adventurous person or you want to do those longer trips away, you can have a garage underneath your permanent bed. You can stand up in it. You can live in it.
Yep.
You can have that permanent shower. And you've got loads of under the floor storage for things like gas tanks, water tanks, waste tanks.
Yeah.
You can carry hundreds of litres of water under them.
Yeah.
And they've got the brake horsepower and, in most cases, the load-carrying capacity as well. So don't just think if you're buying or looking for a large van, you can just fit the whole world in the back. You can't. It's the chassis weight, the curb weight, and your driving licence you've all got to consider as well.
Well, that goes into any vehicle you buy. Obviously, when you're building a camper van, you're putting a lot of stuff in there that you might not... If you're building it over a case of months, weeks...
Mm-hmm.
Years, did that in the wrong order, weeks, months, years, you're probably not going to realize the pure weight that you are putting in it. Obviously,
absolutely.
If I was loading up a vehicle full of gardening equipment and supplies, I'd know that day how much I'd roughly put in it. Whereas if I'm building a camper van over 6 months and I put the interior in 1 week and then the next week a bed, you might not realize how much that was all adding up. So you need to work out what you can legally put in that vehicle,
load the rear axle with. Yeah, you've got to look very closely into that, and it's one big factor that many consider. I'm not going to talk about the large van a lot today, because what I'd like to do is bring somebody in who's lived in one, built one. But the last big van we built was that prison van, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that wasn't a huge build. I wouldn't say that was a huge build, despite the fact it did have a shower room, it did have a toilet. And you know what? It was quite a big build, actually, wasn't it? It's got three solar panels on the roof. Yeah. It had three skylights. We converted it from a prison van. It had a permanent bed. No, do you know what? I was quite proud of that build.
Yeah.
If you want to watch that video for that build, then we have it down in the description to this video, if you're watching it on YouTube. Failing that, have a quick search on YouTube for the prison van.
Yeah,
it's a really nice little build, actually.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely, you've got all the space. However, you've got the weight restriction. Now, if you want all that space, all the gear that goes with it, and you want to carry lots, what's the next option?
So the next option would be your more overland vehicles and your maybe ex-military or Unimog style of vehicles. Straight off the bat, I can't drive any of those. So that's, as you mentioned a little while back then, your license. That is the first thing to, you'll know more about this because you've got all the training. What license do you need for most of those vehicles?
Oh, put me on the spot. So no, in a lot, if you are looking at bigger than a crafter and sprinter, you are looking into a heavy goods vehicle license. Saying that, you can get larger. So for example, our friends over at justescape.com, Gary and Tina, we spoke about them last week also. Funnily enough, they went from a sprinter-based coach-built camper van. I say coach-built, they had a modular box body on the back of a chassis cab vehicle. So it had a single cab sprinter front end and a twin axle rear end, and they put their body on the back of it. They quickly realised that that chassis wasn't man enough for their needs. So they lifted the body off and they put it onto a bigger Mercedes, and that's what they're driving now. I cannot wait to bring those guys in and talk to you all about it because they will know more than me. But the reason you would step up to something like that is if you are either living in a van or a vehicle, you're using it as potentially a permanent residence, or you are wanting to do those overland trips, so you need a vehicle that is 4x4, pretty tough, proven to be a good off-road vehicle over long distances, such as an ex-military vehicle. Now, I've driven military vehicles. I was served for 8 years, so I have all my licenses. I can drive any of those. And you've got to take the rough with the smooth. If you do drive if you do buy a big vehicle because you want the weight carrying capacity, you want the living space, you want to be able to stand up and go around the world with it, you've got to not expect your vehicle to then drive like a van.
Yeah.
They are a handful on the road. You've got to then spend more money on bigger wheels, bigger tyres, bigger drivetrain,
et cetera.
So that is definitely down, that's either a money no object build or that you've got a larger budget than most and you have an absolute intention that, right, I'm going to do a round the world trip. I don't know enough about round the world trips. I'm not going to pretend I do know.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm looking forward to bringing everybody in to talk about it. And I also want to talk to Jed over at Campervan Culture because he's not only done round the world style travel in his VW T3, he's also now built a man-based overlander vehicle. So it's a man 4x4.
So he's seen both sides of it.
So he's seen both sides of it as well, and he's done a lot of traveling. And he's, done overseas as well. So he's a very good person to bring in and talk to as well. So again, I'm not going to pretend that I know. But I think that's kind of all of those bases covered. I think we spoke more about the smaller ones, didn't we, in the mid-range.
That's then more we took what our we little break. With,
But there's lots of things to consider. But if you are listening to this and still a little bit unclear, please don't take everything we've said as gospel in that if you want to buy a caddy and you can only do weekend trips in it, that's not completely true. It's exactly what you make at that vehicle, isn't it? Again, with a mid-range van like a Transit Custom, you're more than capable of doing whatever type of trip. But again, it's down to you, your individuality. So when it comes to either buying a camper van that's been already built, which is going back to episode 2, 3, build versus buy, it's all down to your personal circumstances. So it's not just, I'm going to buy a camper because it's the easiest option. Really, really consider what you're going to do. And in terms of camper vans, size does matter.
Yeah. And I think we come to the same conclusion at the end of each episode along the lines of, this is just the information to then go and do some research into what is going to best suit you. Because we can't do this podcast in the sense of sitting down with one person. Maybe we do that one day, but everyone listening is going to have different circumstances, different reasons why they want a camper van, different things to consider that we can't go over every single point. So what we can do is give some general advice of things to look out for and what, in our experience, we've seen has worked and what sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, and I think we kind of covered that. Are we going to give ourselves a pat on the back for that one?
I think so.
We've kind of covered a lot of the options. Again, don't treat it as a gospel guide. We're here to assist. We're here to help. And in the meantime, if you are considering a build or you do want some personal advice, we can help you, can't we?
Yes, we can. We can help you via the means of our Patreon page. Now, from £1 a month all the way up to, I believe, £12 a month, we will offer you advice, give you extras in terms of
exclusive footage.
Yep.
Merchandise discount codes.
Yep.
All sorts of stuff. Now, it's not just a platform to plug our stuff. But if you have come away from any of these podcasts and you do have further questions and you do want to ask us, then we can't answer, sadly, all of the emails and the DMs and the PMs and everything else that comes in. So we do dedicate our time to our Patreon pages.
Yep.
So we are very happy to answer those questions if you have them.
Absolutely. And on signing out now, I've noticed in recent weeks, I've just ended by saying cheers. So I feel that this week I'm going to do a more elaborate ending.
Please do. Go
ahead. Shall I do the ending? Go. Are you ready to end?
Shall I say just goodbye?
Well, you could say just cheers. And
okay, go ahead.
So thank you everyone for listening / watching the Campervan cast. I've been Dan.
Cheers.
Oh, well, I thought you were going
to say... You told me just to say cheers.
I set myself up to fail there, didn't I? Right, thank you for listening, everybody. I'll be trying that once again next week, and by episode 12, I'll have it nailed. Thank you very much for listening. These little silence out. Good night.